Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, the radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor of the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, What Changed with Gideon, already in progress.
We ought to be able to get anybody healed if we just know this, right? I'm going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to expect God to heal you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to reach out here to this young man right here, and I'm going to touch him and expect God to restore him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's been prayed for now in faith. I've used the Word of God on him. So all he's got to do now is begin to worship and praise the King for his complete healing. And then one morning he's going to wake up and say, wow, I can see to read my Bible again. Thank you, Lord. That's how simple it is. Is that what he said? But you got to stay in faith. You can't get in unbelief now.
That's right.
If it don't work in the morning, you say, well, that guy prayed for me and it didn't work, just like I thought. No. See, that's unbelief. That's why I like Dave back there. It took Dave nearly 2 years to get healed. But he didn't ever doubt. He stayed in faith and he got healed. Let's go to back to Matthew, where we were there, Matthew 18:21. Yeah, Matthew 18:21. Okay, whenever he come to Peter and said, how many times must I forgive? Seven times? Let's see what the Lord says next verse. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee seven times, but 70 times seven. Now this will take something. This will find out what you're made out of. Now, when you realize the unforgiveness, the reason the Lord told us to forgive 490 times is because the consequences for not forgiving are out of this world. Let me read down there a little way and show you what happens when you don't forgive. Next verse. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a king which would take account of his servants. Next verse. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now that's a lot of money. Billions of dollars. Okay, next verse. But as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. Now this is what's so important. The Lord, his Lord, our Lord, commanded him, the man, to be sold, his wife to be sold, and his children to be sold, and all that he had and payment to be made. Who is going to have to pay the price of all this sin? Everybody in the family. The mother, the father, the children, the assets, you know, your cars, your boats, your airplanes, your yacht, everything you've got, it's going to be under the legal right of the devil. Let's go to the next verse. The servant fell down on it and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. You see, the very first thing this man did, he fell on his knees and asked the Lord for patience and began to worship the Lord. Does he like to be praised? Yes, he likes to be praised. Like I say, if you're not bowing yourself down and worshiping him and praising him, you need to start, especially if you've got some kind of a sickness that seems to be dragging on. You need to make sure you're praising the King. Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. You see the Lord's compassion when we do what he says. And he loosed him and forgave him the debt, that big debt. Now, next verse. At the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That's just a little bit. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. Now, this is unbelievable that one guy has been forgiven such a big debt, and the other guy takes him and grabs him by the throat and is going to choke him. Let's see what the next verse says, 29. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, I have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Next verse. And he would not, but he went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Wow, what a nice guy. Throwed you in prison. Okay, the next verse. And so when his fellow servants saw what that's done, they were very sorry, and they came and told him all that had been done. Next verse. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, oh, you wicked servant. Now, do you want God to call you a wicked servant? I don't want to hear this. No, Lord. You wicked servant. I forgave you that huge debt because you asked me to. Next verse. How shouldest thou not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had compassion or pity on you? Next verse. And his Lord was angry. Now, boy, if there's anybody you do not want to make angry at you, it's the Lord. And his Lord was wroth or angry, and delivered him to the tormentors. Now, would you like for the Lord to deliver you to the devil? No, I don't think so. I definitely don't want him on my case. till he should pay all that was due him. Wow, turn him over to the tormentor, the devil. Next, verse 35, let's see what that says. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone their trespasses. Now then, this little story about little Gideon. While he was in his mother's womb, his mother and father had made an agreement to not live in the world. They would live on the world, but not in the world. So they didn't, in other words, they were going to live like a unique group. In other words, they're not going to buy cell phones. We're not going to do the things the world does. We don't have to have computers. There's a few people in the world that don't like technology. And so they made a pact that they would not. And so the husband went behind her back and bought a cell phone. He broke the confidence that they had, and it made her very angry. I mean, she was as mad as if he'd committed adultery, but he broke the agreement that they made. And so she even, if you notice, to remember the testimony, she got so mad at him, she said she hated him. Do you know that's a dangerous thing to say? You don't ever say, I hate you, because by saying, I hate you, she's now sinning. She opens the door to the tormentors, and the Father sends the tormenting spirits into her baby's body that's inside of her body and begins to mess with that child while she's carrying that baby in the womb. When the child was born, he had this very unique problem that, like Jeff said, only 200 people in America have this every year. Only about 200. So it's almost non-existent, but he had it. And then after that, after he was born, his kidneys started failing, and that won't work. They done everything. They took him to doctors. They didn't know what to do. They took him to the best doctors they could find up there in Pennsylvania. The doctors finally said, the boy is going to probably die. There's nothing we can do to help. That's when they called us. Somebody had listened to some of our teachings about what we teach. So when we got the message, I asked Jeff to go, and he said he would. And Jeff went up there and found out that there was something wrong that happened while she was carrying Gideon in her womb. And it was this covenant or this pact that they'd made with each other. And she literally told her husband that she hated him. According to this scripture we just read, how many times are we supposed to forgive when somebody does something wrong? 490 times? 70 times 7? That's what he said? That's what he said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We're supposed to forgive 70 times 7. That's a whole bunch, right?
Endless.
Yeah, that's right. You're right, brother. That's what that means. We are supposed to forgive one another endless. Why do you think Jesus told us it's so necessary that you forgive an endless number of terms? Because he knew this scripture in the Bible that if you don't forgive everybody from your heart, the Father in heaven will send a tormenting spirit to torment you and your children and your assets and everything that you have. You ain't going to have a fun life once the devil is turned loose on you. Is that right? When the devil's turned loose on you, you're in trouble. And that scripture, Matthew 18, 21 through 35, clearly lays all that out, where that everybody in the family will have to suffer these consequences. But she didn't do it. So the boy carried the problem. And now the boy's down to where he's going to die. And if he's down to where he's going to die, I would say it's time to look for Jesus, wouldn't you? You think now's really the time for Jesus? Yeah, I thank God that we have Jesus. Aren't y'all glad we have Jesus?
Amen.
I'm telling you, we are so glad we have Jesus. So anyway, they prayed. Jeff prayed. And I'm telling you, the little boy began to get better immediately. He needed to go to the bathroom in just a few minutes. And then they could just lay him down in the bed, and he was so full of water. Like I said, I think he weighed 30 or 31 pounds extra because of all the liquid in his body. And that water would just run out of him through his skin. Yeah, he lay him on a bed. He gets soaking wet just laying in a bed. The little guy is literally dying because of mother's unforgiveness toward her husband. Is that an example the Lord put in his word about being persistent?
Yes, diligently.
And he used a woman too, didn't he? The woman was persistent, and she was. And so Jeff went up there, and but we had to find the sin. What if we had not have found the sin? Little Gideon would probably be history by now. Probably already have buried him. You know, so that's so sad. But you know, you got to stop and think. If Jesus told you that you must forgive not only 7 times, but 70 times 7. When I looked at that, I think, Lord, what is it that makes this so incredibly important about forgiveness? Why do I have to forgive 70 times 7? I mean, I don't understand. There's got to be something so critical here that It's got to be so important for me to forgive 70 times 7. It's not just a normal thing. Why? And of course, as you meditate on these scriptures over and over and over, you finally begin to realize. And finally, it broke through to me. If you don't forgive everybody from your heart, the Father in heaven will not only turn you over to the devil, but he'll turn your wife over to the devil. He'll turn your children over to the devil, and he will turn all your assets over to the devil. Now, if God the Father, and it says God the Father does this, is that right? It says, and the Father will turn you over to the devil, the tormenting spirits, if you don't forgive everybody from your heart. So, you know, after I learned these principles, I have seen so many people healed that I couldn't get healed before. Technically speaking, we should be able to get everybody that we pray for healed. Everybody, the answer, where's that at in 2 Corinthians 1:20? 2 Corinthians 1:20. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1:20 right quick and let's look at that. For how many of the promises? For all the promises of God in him are yea. And in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. For how many of the promises are yes? If all of God's promises are yes, then if we don't get our answer today, what do? Give up tomorrow?
No.
We don't do that at all, do we, brother?
Don't give up.
No more. Don't ever give up. I mean, if God says, keep asking, and he said that several times in there, keep asking, keep knocking, keep believing, and you'll get your answer, right?
That's right.
So if God says all of my promises, and we've covered a few wonderful promises, haven't we? If you've got that list of all them promises and you find out all them yes and amen, you're going to start praying for people. You're going to be a different man. Is that right?
That's right.
Absolutely. It'll make a different person out of you. You'll have something in you like Peter and John has. What I have. I may not have much money on me, but I got power on me. Don't we, Tommy? Don't we have this power, AA?
God, God's power.
It's God's power and it's in us, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So if all this is true, why don't we see more people doing something for Jesus?
Believing.
We don't believe, do we, Tommy? We're not persistent. We need to repent, don't we? And start praying for people, laying hands on people, or doing something. I mean, something.
Praise.
Yeah, we definitely need to be praising. In other words, the other day I was coming through the minister center, almost got all the way across the room when I said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And Kathy said, Pastor, I thought you was going to get all the way across the room without saying, praise the Lord. I said, well, I almost did, didn't I? She said, I've been here a long time, and I've never heard you cross this room that you didn't say, praise the Lord, at least one. Do you think the Lord likes for us to praise him? He is worthy of our praise. Now then, would you like to have him answer every prayer you pray? Yes, me too. So that's why I praise him, because I want to see him answer to the prayer. I want to see him change people's life.
You have been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, What Changed with Gideon? Or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.